In this week's parasha, it says, "V'yom hashmini yimol b'sar olasai." Uvayayim hashmini. Over here, now I'm going to tell you over here some stuff that's a little bit bizarre. Okay, I'll go very quickly. Some very bizarre things. Did you know that the holy Arizal, was very squeamish? That's what it says here in the Sefer. He could not look. I can't believe this, but it says that he could not look at a bris milah. He cannot, when I don't know if you know, in the shul, when there's a bris milah, there are some people that run up to the moel and they watch. They have this hanah, this pleasure in observing the ceremony. Okay, they have this pleasure in actually watching the moel do the bris milah. They're very knowledgeable in all the different techniques, all the different details of the smila, and they stand there up close to watch very carefully what the moel is doing. And then there are people like me that run the other way. Okay? I honestly tell you, I didn't even know until not that long ago what a bris mila is. I mamash didn't know. It's like certain basic, fundamental, aleph-based things. I didn't know these things. It was like brand new to me. I couldn't tell you. I didn't know the difference between an oral and not an oral. Okay, recently, whatever, like maybe 2-3 years ago, I learned some of these in Yonim. So it was all new to me because I'm very squirmish. I can't be present at this ceremony. He writes here the Oitz Plus HaTorah that the Arizal was squirmish. He was not able to be present at and watch, observe the actual ceremony. And he says something very bizarre. Okay, this is like, I really shouldn't be saying, this is not my style. You're not going to like this. The Arizal said that in a previous life, he was a moel and he killed a baby. He was sloppy in his service and he caused a baby to die. And it affected him to such a degree that in this lifetime, again, this is off my pay charts over here. I just find it to be so off the charts, I have to tell you. He can't even look at a bris milah. I'll read you the words. He writes over here, Kosav achasam soifer zuchus yogin aleinu, v'zel l'shoyne, kosu talmidei ho arizal, shohoya arizal nizor. Okay, that's another thing. I skipped the one over here. He writes over here, he writes about himself. This he writes his own words. He writes on himself. He didn't write anything. Rav Chaim Vital, the Arizal did not write anything. His student, Rav Chaim Vital, recorded everything that we have today from the Arizal. And he writes about his Rebbe, the Arizal, that he's told him that he once, in a previous lifetime, umol yeled echad, umeis hayeled, Machmas Hamila. V'hoye ze shoygeg ha'karav l'mezit. V'hoysef Arizal, because of this, ani nizor me'oid. I'm so frightened. U'misrachek shelo lihiyois loy mohel v'loy shoychet. V'adaraba eineni yochol lehistakel. He writes, this is what he writes, Rav Chaim Vital, he's writing this in the quote from his Rebbe. I am not able to look. It terrifies my neshama to observe the ceremony of circumcision because once upon a time I did this and I was sloppy and I murdered a little Jewish boy. So why am I telling this to you today? Because when something is personal, it's a whole different world. People are making minyanim. There are two types of people, rabbi, people. The people making minyanim out there, porch minyanim, backyard minyanim, base minyanim, couldn't kill us. They couldn't kill us. There's no danger. Who cares? They're going out into the streets. Mark, you told me this morning they were soliciting people. They were looking for a minyan. Is that true today? You tell them they're looking for a person? You know why? There's only one reason why. Because it's not personal. If there was someone in their family who died, Rachmana Litzlan, who was sick, believe me, they would not be on the street looking to make a minyan. It would be a different reality. And who do you have a proof from? The Arizal. There are people today lining up around the street to be moyalim. I want to be moyal. I want the zechus. There are people that are the circumcision. They will go up to the front, stick their head in. You see people like this. They stick their head in and they want to watch every little nuance, every little detail. They want to see, is he using a clamp, not a clamp? Is he using this knife, that knife? They want to know all the perot, l'chol perotecha v'diktukecha v'chavanoseha. And then they have the Arizal, who was the holiest of the holy. And with that comes Ois Bris Kodesh, Avram Avinu, 13 Brisos, Klal Yisrael's sanctity is based upon Bris Milah. And he, when it was the Bris and Shul, he writes, that Rav Chaim Vital writes, he ran away. I can't be around. I can't see this. No, I'm out of here. What's the problem? It's personal. I was once a Moyal, and I murdered someone. I was sloppy. It was personal. Ooh, when it's personal, it's a different ballgame. It's a different ballgame. Okay, and it's interesting. People have to be sensitive. Sensitivity, the way to be sensitive is to make it personal. A person may be fortunate that it's not personal, but there's an achrayus. Achenu b'nei Yisrael, hanesunim bat saru v'ashivya. Ayimdim b'ein b'yabasha. If it's personal, it's a different story. Look at the Arizal. It's unbelievable what's going on over here. Personal. He runs the other way. Can't even deal with this. Okay, next. Next topic. See, it's not so irrelevant, even though this is like a spooky type of topic, but I think, in fact, it's very relevant. Yeah. Yeah.
Today is Yom HaShoah, and someone wrote, anyone who's concerned and he's worried about Yom HaShoah and he wants to dedicate or memorialize it, think of the living people today. Don't just think of the people who went through Hashoah. Think of the people today that you're walking around and putting them in danger.
That's right. Today, talk is Yom HaShoah. Did anyone listen to my cousin last night? Anyone listen to my cousin? Salavej, you get a very good share. Mark, you listen to the share? Mark, you listen to the shiur?
Yes, I listened to his shiur with Brenda. It was awesome. He spoke a lot about Lieutenant Birnbaum. He was there. I forgot which camp, whatever the camp he
Birkenau.
Was in.
Birkenau. He was in Birkenau. Birkenau. And his driver was an American Indian.
He was not in Birkenau. He was in
Bergen-Belsen.
No, the British.
He was under the place where the British buried him.
Bergen-Belsen, and I think he was another one. I have to look it up. He definitely was not in Bergen-Belsen.
He told the story of Tfillin. He met people, young men, take the Tfillin. You have Tfillin. They want the Tfillin. They take the Tfillin from him, they give him the Tfillin, and they start passing in the case. They pass the Tfillin. Not like a football, but they're passing it. He goes up to them. He says, what are you doing? He says, we don't know what to do. We're here for 5 years. Our parents put on tefillin. We wanted to see tefillin. And then he had a whole lineup of the boys every day putting on tefillin. And he was there with Eisenhower. And I think the Klausenberger Rebbe got involved. It was, he just had us in tears.
When the Klausenberger Rebbe died, and he came to be Menachem Adol, the family gave him back his tefillin, because his tefillin he gave to the Klausenberger Rebbe to be in charge of the tefillin. And he didn't get it back until after the Klausenberger passed away.
Right, they have it now. The family, I think, has it now.
Unbelievable. All right, I got to go hear the recording. I have to go hear the recording. All right, let's continue. What? What?
His salary while he was in the army, he paid to Chaim Berlin to support Talmidim who didn't have money to pay tuition.
Who, Lieutenant Birnbaum?
There's a guy, George Rushfield, who was a Chaim Berliner in the 40s, a little kid, and his tuition was paid from Lieutenant Birnbaum's salary.
Wow. All right, let's go further. Let's do a few more things. A few more interesting things.
Rabbi Levine, yes. Did you watch Shmuel Mayevsky's video today that he sent out?
No, I did not get a chance yet. No, I didn't see it yet. No. I had to prepare for the shiur. I had to prepare for the shiur soon. After the shiur, we'll catch up on all the goodies. On all the goodies. Okay, let's go. Another quickie. So I want to show you a few short, interesting things. What happens if a child, Rachmana Litzlan, dies before a stillborn? So there's a halacha that at the kever, the chever kadisha is the minig is that they do a bris mila. That's what it says. I don't know exactly halacha l'maisa. They do a bris mila at the kever, the chever kadisha. In addition, now who's the one that says to do this? The one that says it's recorded in Shulchan Aruch in the Beis Yosef. Okay, the Yosef Cairo is perished on the tour. The Beis Yosef, he brings down in the name of Rabbeinu HaGershuni. Who was Rabbeinu HaGershuni? It was Rabbeinu, I guess he must be a Rishon. Lo yadu al mi yischavin HaBeis Yosef ve'ulay hakavon al Rabbeinu Moshe HaGershuni zal huva b'hagoyis Mordechai Mesech the Shabbos. Must be an early Rishon. The Beis Yosef brings b'shem the Rabbeinu HaGershuni that if a child is a stillborn, the Chever Kadisha, they do a bris mila al kivroi, and they should give the baby a name. Okay, these are horror stories. They should give the baby a name. So he writes over here something very, very fascinating, that there's a sefer called Oitzer Yad Chaim, and he says that the minig, I don't know if this is done today, this is done in this, it's done in this generation, but
Menachem, I believe, right?
No. So this is what he says. He says here that it used to be in the olden days that they always gave the baby the name Gershon. The Chever Kadisha gave him the name Gershon. I don't know if it's true today, but in ancient times, why? Because since it was Rabbeinu HaGershuni, who is the one that taught Klal Yisrael this halacha, that a tinoik, an infant, that is born, dies before he had a bris mila, the Chever Kadisha should do a bris mila on his guf before it's buried. It was taught, this halacha was brought to our knowledge by Rabbeinu HaGershuni, whose name was Gershon. The proper name to name the baby, they named the baby in his honor. Since this halacha was only taught to us by this person, Rabbeinu HaGershuni, give credit where credit is due. They would name these babies at the cemetery, the Korei Shmoi B'Yisrael Gershon. Now, to me, I just find this to be very interesting because it goes to show a sensitivity of Hakaras HaToiv. If not for Rabbeinu HaGershuni, this halacha, this would never be done. Rachmana Litzlan, a baby is born, it's a stillborn, and the Chever Kadisha takes out the burial. Who you do a bris mila? Ridiculous. You do a bris mila on the living, not on the dead. You don't do on the dead a bris mila, like a bracha. Who would do this? Rabbeinu HaGershuni, he taught Klal Yisrael such a principle of Emun and Tchias HaMesim, the baby will come back Tchias HaMesim, and do the bris mila. There is an inyan of doing the bris mila. This knowledge was transmitted to us through a person. It didn't happen by itself. Rabbeinu HaGershuni, the Beis Yosef in his parish on the tour, teaches us this, and we only know this from Rabbi Rabbeinu HaGershuni. Out of recognition, Hakar Satoiv to Rabbeinu HaGershuni that has made us aware of the importance of doing this, we have gone so far that these babies, the name we give them is Gershon. Because the only reason why the baby is buried with a bris mila is because of this person, Gershon. Isn't that interesting? I find that to be the mussar that lies in this halacha is gold, is very, very worthy. Okay, next, interesting shayla. Okay, this is a shayla which is not a gelach l'maisa. Rachmana litzlan, we all know stories of people in the beginning of the century or after the war, they came to America to make a parnasa. They had very difficult nisyonos, and they were not able to observe Shabbos. They had families, and if they would not show up to work on Saturday, don't come back Monday. And many people were not able to be omitted in this nisyon. No blame to them at all. No one's chas v'shalom coming to blame anyone. It was a very difficult nisyon. Question: are they mechuyev on Shabbos to wear tefillin? We all know there are certain minyanim, these hashkama v'sikin minyanim. They tell us, I don't know if it's true or not, they've been around. How do they originate? They originated with Jews who Shabbos morning came to daven. They had to be at work at 9 o'clock. They didn't have the luxury of davening at the 9 o'clock minyan because they had to be at work at 9 o'clock. So they went to a v'sikin minyan, davened early, and then after they finished davening, they got on the train, they went to work. Because pikuach nefesh, if they wouldn't go to work, they wouldn't want to feed their children. Children would die, would starve. Pikuach nefesh, they went to work on Shabbos. Why don't we wear tefillin on Shabbos? So Chazal say because we need two witnesses, two oisais that we are Jewish. What are the oisais? There are a total of three oisais. There is Shabbos, ki oisi beinu veinechem, v'hayol lecha leois al yadcha tefillin is an ois, and bris mila, zois ois habris. There are three things in the Torah that are called an ois: tefillin, Shabbos, and bris mila. And Chazal tell us a person does not need at any given moment in time more than two. So being that on Shabbos we have the ois of Shabbos and the ois of bris mila, it's not necessary to wear tefillin on Shabbos. Why not? Why not wear tefillin on Shabbos? What's so terrible? Why can't we wear tefillin on Shabbos? What, you're going to carry in the street? Who says it's called carrying? It's a malbush. We can get around that. Why don't, so there are different reasons why we don't wear tefillin. But one of the reasons why we don't wear tefillin, the more popular reason, is because you only need to have any given moment in time a double ois. And if we would have tefillin, Shabbos, and bris mila, it would be a triple ois. So here are the shailas. What happens if a person, no choice of his own, he has to work on Shabbos? Pikuach nefesh. Okay, he's a doctor. Whatever the matzav is, the matzav, there are situations where a person, due to a matzav pikuach nefesh, he must work on Shabbos. Should such a person wear tefillin on Shabbos? Another shayla. Let's say a person does not have a bris mila because he's a, what's it called, a hemo, person.
Hemophilian.
Hemophilian, it's akonis nefashis, to have a bris mila. He does not have a bris mila, so he does not have the ois of bris mila.
Hemophiliac.
He bleeds out. His blood does not clot. So it's a sakana for him to have had a bris mila, whatever, and he doesn't have bris mila. And he's not having one anytime soon, for whatever the reasons are. Should, al pi halacha, let's talk real halacha, should such a person wear tefillin on Shabbos? We never think of this. If the ikar tam why we do not wear tefillin on Shabbos is because there are three things in the Torah that are called an ois, and an ois serves as a testimony. And then when it comes to testimony, you only need two, not three, and that's why tefillin goes away on Shabbos. So when it comes to a person who legitimately, according to halacha, must be mechal Shabbos for bikuach nefesh reasons, or a person who does not have a bris mila for medical conditions, should he wear tefillin on Shabbos? And the answer is no.
Chazal made up the rule, no shofar, no lulav and esrog. Why wouldn't it be the same concern? You might take a carry.
So we just said that wearing tefillin is not carrying. If a person, I prove it to you, if a person finds tefillin lying in the street, in the garbage, the halacha is you should put them on. You can't carry them. You're not allowed to carry them on Shabbos. So what should you do? Wear them. put them on and walk home. Because tefillin is not called carrying. Tefillin is a malbush. So there's no concern you come to carry, because adrabah, you're allowed to carry. So the answer is, now it's a cute question, but the bottom line is definitely not. A person does not wear a tefillin on Shabbos no matter what, even if he's not observant. Even if, look, Lubavitch, they don't put people a tefillin on Shabbos, right? You should go with all the Mechal Shabbos. Hey, even Mechal Shabbos, you might as well put on tefillin. No such thing. There's no such thing. This is an abuse of a halacha. That's why I'm saying this over. This principle, Chazal give us a reason. Don't abuse the Tam. The Tam is Shabbos is an ois for Klal Yisrael. Just because this particular individual may not be with the program because of his issues are that he is he's Bikoch Nefesh, he's being Michal Shabbos, or just because this bris means the same thing. Bris is an ois for Klal Yisrael. This particular individual has a problem. He has a health condition that prevents him from having a bris milah. But that does not take away from the fact that the bris milah is an ois for Klal Yisrael. And thus, on Shabbos Kodesh, there's the ois of Shabbos. A Jew, by definition, is nichlal in the ois bris Kodesh. He may be technically exempt for whatever the reasons, but the nature of the klal, a yochid has to look at himself as part of the klal. That's a very powerful yisoid in Yadus, which unfortunately we shy away from. Unfortunately, in Yadus, many times you see more often than not, is everyone is a superstar. Everyone thinks they are the Gadol Hadar. Their understanding is the only correct understanding of a halachic principle, and there's no willingness to see another side. And not only is there no willingness to see the other side, there's no willingness to accommodate someone else. Or even when the time comes to be mevatel, to reject your approach in respect and favor of the majority. You see that halacha right here when it comes to tefillin. When it comes to tefillin, there can be people who, for whatever reason, are being mechal Shabbos. There can be people, for whatever reason, not have a bris milah. So what? It does not take away from the fact that on Shabbos, we do not wear tefillin. There are three things in the Torah that are called an ois. Tefillin, Shabbos, and milah. Even if a person is missing one of those three, it doesn't matter. You're still part of the team. And the team on Shabbos Kodesh is a team of bris milah, of mulim, a team of ois Shabbos Kodesh. Memela, no individual wears tefillin on Shabbos. Okay. Let's talk about one last thing. We're out of time. Let me just tell you one last thing. I'm very, very chavif. This is a chiddush. It's me'ayin le'ayin bayis le'ayin, but it's worth telling you. It's worth it. Worth it. The only time everyone always asks the question, where in the nusach atzila are we mispalel for shidduchim? How could it be that the whole nusach atzila nowhere? How could it be? This occupies people's minds literally from the morning they wake up until they go to sleep, and they dream about it also. Shidduchim, shidduchim, shidduchim. The whole world revolves around shidduchim. Where are we mispalel for shidduchim? The answer is a bris milah. Kesheim shenichmas labris, ken yikones l'toira ulechupa ulemaisim toivim. I'm shocked that no one has taken advantage of this. You know, there are so many people out there that are looking to take advantage of the shidduch crisis to make money off it, or to somehow take advantage of other people's problems, and no one has yet exploited this. If I was a real nasty person, you know what I would do? I would pick a big sign and I would say, anyone that needs a shidduch, give me money. Money, 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 money. I love money. Give me a lot of money. And I'm going to go to Chaim Kanievsky at a bris milah. And when Rav Chaim Kanievsky says the words "Kashem shenichnas lebris kinyakonis l'toira ulechopa," I'm going to make sure that he reads the name that you give me. Of course, you have to give me $1 million. You know, you give me the money, and I'll take the name, and I'll bring the name to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and I'll look at that name. And when he says about the Rachanimo, "Kashem shenichnas lebris kinyakonis l'toira ulechopa ulemaisim toivim," he'll also have kavana for the chuppah of Pliny ben Pliny, right? Wouldn't that be a nasty thing to do, to exploit the sanctity of this Nusach Atzila? Why? Why is this such a nasty thing? Or because it's the only place in the entire liturgy where we openly pray for Shidduchim. Now, I stand corrected because there's another place. That's by a Pidyon HaBen. By a Pidyon HaBen, you say the same exact. I don't know the exact nus, the same that this child was redeemed by the Koyein. Can you connect the Torah ulechupa ulemaisim toivim? But may inyan leinyan, I want to tell you there's another place. It's a shocking thing I'm going to tell you. Hold on, don't fall off your chair, tie yourself down, I'm about to tell you. Birchas Rosh Chodesh. One of the brachas that we say, Birchas Rosh Chodesh, is Chaim Sheyesh Bohem Chilutz Atzomais. What does it mean, Chilutz Atzomais? So simply means the strengthening of the bones. And the Gemara Masech, the Brachos, says, Zu me'ula shebe brachos. This is the best thing you can possibly pray for. Chilutz Atzamos. Chilutz Atzamos, I want to suggest, is really a tefillah for a shidduch. How can I say that? Because when Adam HaRishon met his zivuk, what did he say? Zoy sapam. Etzem me'atzomai ubosor mibisori. He said about Chava, Zoy sapam etzem me'atzomai, a bone of mine. This is my bashert. Etzem me'atzomai. When we are mespalel Chaim sheyesh bohem chilutz atzomais, the bone should be strengthened. It's alluding to Adam HaRishon's acknowledgement that Chava is an etzen me'atzomai. It's a tefillah for Shidduchim. In fact, once you know that, it's very interesting. You look at the Nuscha of the tefillah of the Birchas Rosh Chodesh. What you're really doing is, there's a lot of repetition. You're going through your life cycle. L'toiva v'livracha, you're discussing yourself, selfish. V'sitein lanu ribayne shalom, give me chayim aruchim, I want to be an old man. Chayim shal shalom, I want to have a peaceful life. Chayim shal toiva, good life. Chayim shal beracha, chayim shal parnasa. And now we shift to the children. Ribayne shalom, in addition to me living long, and having peace, and having goodness, and blessing, and money, I also want my children to get married. Chaim shel shel chilutz atzomois. My children should be able to say, Zoy sapam etzem me'atzomai. And now, once we're talking about the children, let's pray for the children. Everything after Chilutz Atzamos is no longer a prayer for yourself. It's now a prayer for the next generation. Chayim sheyesh bohem yiras shamayim v'yiras chet. My children should be yorei shamayim. Why don't you pray for your own yiras shamayim? Chazal say it doesn't work. Akol bidei shamayim chutz miyiras shamayim. But someone else's Yirah Shemayim, you can help them out. You can pray for them. Chayim she'ein bohem bushu chlima. My children should not be put to shame. Chayim shel oisher v'chavah. I already prayed for money. parnasa. This is for your children. Also, what kind of thing is this? You're going to pray for kavod? Ugh, kavod? You want to pray, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to be in the newspaper. I want everyone to come bow down to me. I want to be just like Trump. I want to be tremendous. Everything is tremendous, the best. You want kavod? Ridiculous, you want kavod. But you're praying for your children. Your children should have that you're allowed to pray for. Your children should be respected. They should have oisher v'chavoid, chayim shetehivanu ahavas toiv yerushamayim, chayim sheyimolu mishalis lebein l'toiva. Okay, there are more rayas. We change from oleinu tovanu lanu. A precise reading of this nusach can be understood is that once you get to chilutz atzamos, you're praying for shidduchim for your children, and everything you pray after chilutz atzamos in the nusach atfilah is really for your children, and answers a lot of difficulties in this nusach, and it's a continuation of the first time that you pray for your children that they should have shidduchim at a bris milah. The first time is k'shem shenichnas lebris k'nikonis l'toira ulechupa ulemaisim tovim. And every Rosh Chodesh you continue with where you left off by praying for chilutz atzamos. Rabbis, have a wonderful day. Mir Tashem will continue tomorrow at 9:30. Be well to all of you.